All right, so
Welcome.
everybody, thanks for coming again. We appreciate your commitment to this. I really think it is a commitment, and I appreciate you guys coming back every week. So, a couple minutes, let's just talk about the game like we always do. Steph does not have a fun question this week,
I don't
or
have
she
a fun
thought of
question.
something.
I'm so sorry, guys.
Oh, brother. Well, I mean, I will be honest. I will let me set the bar then, because if no one else is going to speak up because I didn't give you a chance to, let me just say.
Said
I was losing my mind with boredom.
With
I
boredom?
With
was bored.
boredom.
I wanted to slam my head against the wall. Until the end. Until
Okay,
the
yeah. No, once it got to like
end.
I guess the last quarter of it was nonstop action.
True.
But I mean, that's only 25%.
Right. I mean, and it just felt longer than the others for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
it
swear it
did.
was.
Well, it took me about an hour longer than all of the
I
rest
think
of them.
so.
Yeah.
In
Yeah,
fact, I
because
thought it.
it
Go
probably
ahead.
took me about four. I mean, usually, like, the past two chapters have taken me, like, 3 hours because, again, I look at everything. This one was probably about four.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost had you do more in this episode as well.
Yes. Yes. Which takes time.
Yep.
It takes time to stare at a board for about 20 minutes figuring out which clues you should
Yeah,
select.
pulling your hair out and everything.
Yeah. I think that it was just really slow, and I the more I play this game over the last couple chapters, I've noticed that they just kind of fill things in there. I'm starting to wonder what was the point of that whole storyline of her going back in time and saving William. It had absolutely no impact on what happens now. Like it felt like it was just there because they needed something to throw in.
Well, I'm thinking that they're setting something up for the next chapter, that she's going to have to go back in time through a picture, and so they had to explain how that works.
Yeah, I thought of that too. I wasn't really sure if I was right, but I did think of that. I was like, maybe, maybe it was just.
Because otherwise, yeah, it's completely just shoehorned in for no reason.
Right.
Well,
So I'm hoping you're right.
the other thing too that I like about it though is it plays with the idea of kind of the butterfly effect in a way. You go back in time and change this one tiny variable, and it can throw everything out of whack. And I like it in that respect of a storytelling, I guess device in a way, where it's showing you the negative effects of this power.
Right. Yeah, I can get behind
And
that.
then it's basically, it's almost like alchemy, like equal exchange. It's like, you save William, but yet your best friend is horribly mangled in a car accident. So, no matter what you do, there is no good outcome, in this particular situation.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I think while we're on the topic of that past storyline, I kind of want to propose the question, kind of sort of kicking things off here. In the opening act where Chloe is still in the wheelchair, in the hospital bed, more specifically, she's definitely still Chloe. She has her edge, but she's happier. And I'm proposing perhaps because her father's alive and David's no longer in the picture because he never was. But in your opinion, that sort of raises the question: how much do people and our interactions with them end up defining our attitudes and feelings, and can it be controlled on our end? I know it sounds like a really juvenile question, but I mean, let's really think about it and expand upon it a little bit. Or we can just sit in silence for a little
Well, I mean,
bit.
okay. I think that to a very large extent, our outlook on life, I mean, it's all very heavily shaped by our environment. If we if there's certain things that are just outside of your control, and so if everybody you know and love suddenly dies, you're obviously going to be less happy than
Right.
if not. So yes, you are very heavily influenced by those environmental factors.
That's true. I mean, it seemed like that when Chloe's around David, though, she just has absolutely no glimmer of hope whatsoever. She just is filled with so much hate, like nothing can get through, you know?
I mean, I disagree as far as Chloe's concerned, largely just because though she seems somewhat happier with her father alive, she also wants to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whereas even though she's angry and everything in the David timeline, I think that the fact that she is still, like, she hasn't, like, succumbed to depression or anything. She still is actively fighting. And I think that that implies a sort of, if not happiness, at least hope.
Yeah, and she's kind of, you know, she's kind of a free spirit. Like, that's one thing that gives her hope, you know, in the regular timeline, is that she can leave. Like, she talks about, you know, leaving with, you know, when she was friends with Rachel, they were going to leave together and go, I think, to, what, California or L.A. or something. And even without Rachel, she's like, I'm going to get out of here, you know? But in the other timeline, when she's bedridden, that's possibly, like, the worst. I mean, that's possibly, like, one of the worst things that could happen to her is that she doesn't have that freedom to go and do what she wants. She doesn't have that freedom to go any place that she wants. She feels too restricted, and that's just not her personality.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
I agree.
Go ahead.
I said I agree.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, but I think that, like, you know, I mean, even though, I mean, and that's kind of because, you know, I've seen this in pretty much the most of the story played through before on Twitch, and watching it, then I was like, wow, well, she seems like the streamer at the time was like, well, you know, well, I definitely don't like this because she seems unhappy, she seems miserable. I thought, well, no, she does seem happy, like she seems very happy. But then playing it through this time and having more of a firsthand experience, I was like, no, she. I mean, even though, yes, her dad's alive and things seem to be going, like, a little bit brighter for the family, even though they're drowning in debt. You know, they seem to be generally happy as a family. She is suffering a lot because of her condition, and it's getting worse. And, you know, basically, eventually, she'll most likely, you know, have, you know, find an early grave because of it. And I think that the happiness that you kind of see at first is just cosmetic. It's just, you know, it's just skin deep.
Yeah.
So did you guys did you kill her?
No, there's no freaking way I could.
No.
That was
okay, so none of us did.
That was like the hardest decision because when I first saw that, I was like, okay, what are the consequences in the game that this is going to have? And then it just like started bringing out like the moral, like, moral dilemma, moral questioning, like, what would I actually do in that situation?
Right.
Like, is it something that I could actually do? Because at that point, it felt like you were the one making the decision, not you were making the decision for some video game character to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it, like, I probably sat there for about 15 minutes at that question the first time. And because I was
like, get on with it, man.
What do I do? Well, I mean, that's the thing is, like, I wanted to, and I kept second guessing myself. I'm like, well, okay, if I do this, then what are the consequences in the game? And is it going to, like, destroy Max or, like, what? Like, I just started thinking about every single possible situation.
I came so close. I came really close, actually, to doing it.
Yeah, like, I would be, like, at the point of almost clicking, and I'm like, wait, no, I can't.
Yeah. The one thing that stopped me, and this is just thinking about the characters and, you know, the whole thing of just getting sucked into the story and sucked into everything, is that I just kept thinking, what would her parents think? You know, like, her, I mean, even though she got to say goodbye, you know, well, she told Max, she said, I've already said my goodbyes. You know, so I guess that she had some kind of awkward moment with her parents where she was like, well, I might die any time now, so see ya. But you know, even though she said that, like, I was like, but still, she's losing what bit of life that she might have left. And her parents probably didn't get to say, you know, they didn't consider that a goodbye. They just thought, oh, Chloe, just stop, you know, things, you know, you'll get, you know, things will be a little bit better, you know. But
I think
that was the one.
Vision will do that too. So
yeah, that was the one thing. I mean, and that was the biggest thing. I was like, but what about her parents, man? I can't do that to them. So
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't have to spend too much time on it, but I wanted to kind of ask, because that was one of the questions I had written down, was like, do you think that if it was real life, and it was, I mean, because to be honest with you, like, I didn't even really hesitate. For me, it was just like, no, there's no way I'm pulling inducing that dosage for you. Like, there's no way. If it was my best friend or even my family member and they were begging me to do it, there's no way I would ever do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if you guys would have the same, you know, obviously if you had the struggle in the video game, you probably would in real life too. But is there any point where, without getting into the controversial, you know, dilemma, social dilemma of it all?
To me, like, the one reason I came close to doing it is because the letters that I found, the letters that you saw kind of around, and just from what she said and from what her parents said, was that it was pretty inevitable that things were getting worse for her. And that, you know, because the doctor, I think in one thing that I found, the doctors pretty much told her parents to basically make the final arrangements or whatever, I think, is pretty much what they were implying to. That was the only reason I came that close. And I think, I can't say that I would or I wouldn't, but I would kind of say that if it was for certain that they would die, you know, most possibly, you know, horribly, or, and it was going to happen definitely, I don't know. I would like to think that I would maybe, possibly think about it, but I think when it came down to it, I couldn't do it.
This was a really hard choice in the game. Like, I really had to think about it, and what it came down to was this question of real life, what would I do? Because unlike almost every other choice in the game, like, this is one that I was like, this is, you know, you have to think about this as a human, as a real life person. Mm-hmm. And I think that I just, I mean, I guess, like, almost selfishly, I couldn't live with knowing that I had killed another person. Like, mm-hmm. that's not right. a decision I could ever make and sleep at night. Mm-hmm. So, regardless of what, and like I said, that it might be even considered selfish, but regardless of what situation they're in, I could not kill another person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we don't get churchy in this group, but, I mean, it's not up to me, really. You know, if I just, that's my philosophy just right. in life. And I know that in my grandfather last year, my grandmother had to sort of take him off life support because she just couldn't afford it anymore, and he was dying, and he was just living and living and living, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess at that point, that's between the married couple and whatever decision they've made and God, right? I mean, but for me, I just, if my friend just bamboozled me with that question, I'd be like, dude, get lost. I'm not pulling the plug on you.
And I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it was kind of unfair for Chloe to ask that anyways of Max, especially since Max just kind of, I mean, because again, Max didn't keep in contact with Chloe in either timeline, which I found ridiculous. But, you know, so Max pretty much hasn't talked to her for a while and just all of a sudden stops by, you know, and they're happy to see her. But then all of a sudden Chloe's like, oh, yeah, by the way, could you kill me?
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, you know, I know that she's desperate. I understand that. I understand that she feels like that she it's either that or just die. You know, slowly and painfully, and, you know, and to keep the doctor's bill coming and to possibly, you know, just add more onto it, you know, more machines and more help, you know, but yeah, it was a little unfair. It's a little unfair, I thought.
I gotta be honest with you, though. If I knew it would speed the game up, I would have pulled that plug in a heartbeat.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Hey, come on. I gotta bring some comedy to the. Come on, man. I'm gonna get lynched tonight by you guys.
Yeah.
No. See, what next week when you go to come into the chat, you're gonna be blocked.
Yeah, you know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Blocked. going on that whole thing of the timelines and things, would, if you guys, if the game didn't give you a choice, but if the game gave you a choice, would you have stayed in that timeline of Chloe pretty much dying and her parents and dead, or would you have gone back like Max did?
Good question.
I think I would have gone back. I mean, being friends with Victoria and Nathan.
True.
I think would have been a hard pill to swallow.
How the heck that happened?
Well, they probably they wouldn't have been jerks to you, but go ahead, Clark. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think that as weird as it sounds, I would have talked to Chloe about it, because in the original timeline, it's totally cool to talk to her about your little superpower, and she is a good friend and gets it, you know, as much as she's able to be. So I would talk to her and say, hey, I have this is not how things originally went and whatever, and if she could wrap her head around it, I would ask her what she thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in a sense, like, give her a choice.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, though, too, is it seems like that the same things were happening in that timeline with, you know, Rachel Amber being abducted and and all these other, you know, girls going missing. So it seems like that would still be a issue in that timeline regardless. So, I mean, it'd be interesting to go to Chloe and be like, look, I was able to alter the past and create an alternate timeline. This is what happened. Like, should we go back or, you know, leave things as is, because it's still going to be the same issues that that's going on here right now.
Yeah, it would be interesting to give her a choice, kind of, in the whole thing.
Steph, why don't you talk about David for a minute? I know you have a question here about David.
Oh, I was going to ask, you know, how you guys feel about David now that we're at the end of chapter 4. Because I feel like, you know, and we've kind of brought this up before as far as with Nathan, you know, that I kind of felt like the game was going out of its way to make you think that he was the villain, you know? I think you brought that up, Chris. But, like, it seems like that they're doing that with David in a way, but then we kind of find out a few new things about David in this chapter. So how do you guys feel about David now?
Playing the game the first time, I felt like it was something that was definitely deserved with the way he was acting, and, you know, because he's a little too intense, and I think his emotions are put into the, they're misinterpreted,
right?
But because of that, he still just comes off as a jerk, and you know, I was happy that, you know, he got kicked out and all that stuff, so.
Yeah. Well, okay, oh, that's right, because you guys didn't side with him.
No.
I'm the only one who sided with him. So he wasn't even in the house this chapter.
Well, he was. Like, so you won, Max, and then he walks out.
Oh, wow. Okay, see, he was in the garage when I went down there looking for some...
Oh, you mean for like the third
time? Stuff. Yeah. Yeah, for the 100th time.
Gee, let me search this garage I've already searched for.
Yeah, but he was down there, and we actually kind of, like, he thanked me for kind of helping him out, you know? And actually, like, gosh, I don't even remember what it was now, but it kind of, you know, I was kind of like, oh, well, he's not even as bad of a guy as what I thought he was. You know, because I gave him the chance, he was still in the house, you know?
Interesting.
See, I'm a lot more on the fence about him now that we have the revelation that something actually was going on, like, seriously dark.
Yeah.
Because he seems like a paranoid PTSD nutcase.
Yeah.
Until we are in this underground bunker and finding out that there was something to be a paranoid nutcase about, you know? So I kind of am like, maybe this guy was right all along.
He definitely has some issues, and he definitely doesn't know how to communicate to people. But, you know, he definitely was on the nose about some things.
Yeah, without belaboring the point, I mean, you guys have all kind of said it already, but it's hard to play sometimes this game. It depends what kind of mood that I'm in.
At this
point, I was already kind of, like, really tired of walking around. And you know, when I ran into him, though, I will admit, I did feel a little bit for him. I was like, you know, this guy, like, he's clearly upset, and he's sad, and for a minute, I was like, wow, this game actually made me feel something.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know, when Max tried to, like, sort of, basically defend herself and say, look, dude, like, I didn't mean to hurt you, but I'm sticking up for Chloe, he still was kind of like a child about it. He was just like, you win, whatever, I'm out of here. Like, you're a grown man. Like, and you know what? Honestly, if I was in his position and somebody had said that to me and they were honest with me, I would have said, you know what? You're right. Like, let's fix this. Let's, you know. I know not everyone is like that.
That's
I'm not saying
David.
That I'm
yeah.
perfect. Right. But I'm saying, like, it seems reasonable to me that most people would try to. I mean, she's what? Like, twice as young as him?
Yeah.
And he can't act like an adult, you know, and just be like, whatever, she's a teenage girl. I don't care what she thinks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seemed a little extreme, that whole thing. But I also am a really harsh critic, and I need to stop, because it's just a video game at the end of the day. But anyways, we should probably move along for the sake of time.
Yes.
Let's fast forward a little bit here. We get to a point where you are sneaking into... Sorry?
I said this one's a good one.
We get to a point where you're sneaking into the boys' dorms to get clues on Nathan, and he walks in on you, and then Warren comes out of nowhere and just goes freaking Mike Tyson on him. So my question is, well, first of all, I'll just tell you what happened, because this is hilarious, and it deserves to be said. I accidentally intervened. I pressed the wrong button, and I intervened, and I was like, heck no, I am definitely rewinding this. Because it was not handled well when I intervened. He got the gun, and it was a big mess. And then I rewound it, and I just sat back, and I sipped on my water, and I kicked my feet up, and I watched Warren just absolutely wail on Nathan, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
I did.
And I must say, I noticed that Chris and Chris also let him beat.
I mean, at first, I did not. I didn't accidentally intervene. I did intervene on purpose, but then I was like, he's got a gun, he's clearly going to come shoot us as soon as we walk down the stairs. No, murder this guy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it turned out for the best because this guy definitely deserved it.
Yeah, and he was still trying to talk crap, even, like, when you intervene, he gets up, he's like, I'm going to kill you guys. I was like, oh, no, you ain't. I'm going to rewind. And you're going to die. It was great.
Well, I didn't. I stopped him.
Well,
did you even try it the other way?
No, I didn't.
You missed out.
I know. I'm sure I did, but I was like, no, Warren, just back off. I didn't want things to get out of hand.
I hope you don't get shot later.
Hopefully I don't.
I know, that'd be pretty sad.
I should have let Warren beat the crap out of him then.
I don't know. I think it's very interesting. That's when the game started to pick up a little, you know, and started to get interesting again.
Yeah.
But, anyways.
Alright, so we'll move on. So, fast forwarding a little bit again, we get to the confrontation with Frank, between Chloe and Max and Frank. How did that go for you guys? What did you choose to happen? Did you kill Frank? Did you let Chloe just keep the gun and just blast him? Or no?
This one was awful. I literally had to exhaust every single conversation option.
Yeah.
Rewinding at least 10 times.
Yeah.
I think it was an obnoxiously designed conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
It really was.
Because I reached a point where I was like, is there even a way to get out of this without stabbing him in the leg?
Yeah.
But I managed it eventually, but I was so frustrated by the end of it.
See, I saw that. I didn't even see the option to wound him. I don't even know how you stab him in the leg.
You don't. It just happens. He reacts, and then Chloe will...
Oh, see, Chloe in my game had the gun, so she shot
him. If she has the gun, she shoots him. She doesn't have the gun, he pulls a knife, and then she stabs him in the leg with the knife.
Oh, no.
Well, no, you can have two. You can have both options with and without the gun.
Oh,
because I had to play it several times over before I got the no one gets hurt.
Yeah, it took me at least half an hour. It was
one time he gets shot and he's dead and they leave him there, and then
yeah.
And then the next one he pulls out a knife and then Chloe or Max gets a hold of it and stabs him in the leg over it, and it was just
oh my god.
It was such a mess.
It's like bad decision after bad decision.
And I'm like, there has to be a better alternative to this.
Yeah.
You know what though, honestly, not even making this up, I really thought that, I just lost my train of thought, but let me see if I can read it here.
Wow.
Gosh, I hate when that happens. I know, it's just, I'm getting old, you know? Just kind of zapped out of
my brain. Oh my god.
Yeah, okay.
What, I am? I'm getting old. I'm gonna be 32 this year, man.
Oh no.
Actually, Chris had a birthday yesterday. So
yeah.
Happy birthday, Chris.
I'm just trying to delay so I can figure out what my
problem is. Yeah, keep going.
Okay, this is what it was, right? There was a part where I had gone through the conversation numerous times, kept failing, was losing my mind. I started thinking what Clark thought, like, this has got to be just, I mean, maybe he just dies, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I was like, guess what? This time she shoots him, I'm just leaving him there. I can't do this anymore. And I got it right.
Oh my god.
I got it right. And so he caught a break, man. Frank doesn't even know that he is alive by the skin of his teeth.
Yeah, it took me about five times to get through it without Chloe shooting him, or shooting his dog first, which I kind of felt more worse about the dog than I did Frank, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
obviously.
But then Chloe seemed so, I mean, and I would have left it if Chloe would have seemed so freaking devastated afterwards. Like, she just seemed completely devastated that she did it. And so I was like, no, I can't have something else on Chloe's head. You know, I can't have something else on Chloe's plate. So, yeah, it took about five times. And once, I had to stop, like, I got into the conversation once, got the wrong result, because you have to rewind and tell Chloe to, you know, get rid of the gun. And I went through the conversation again, still chose the wrong thing, and I had to leave. I mean, I had to quit the game for a reason, and so then when I came back in, I had to do everything all over. It wouldn't let me skip everything, so I had to listen to the conversation again, and then go back. I was like, this is the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very poorly designed.
That's probably the worst part of the game so far, I would say.
Yeah.
That was really tough to get through. I will say, and we're kind of jumping ahead here, but I just gotta say, the next worst part was putting together those freaking clues.
Oh,
I mean, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
I didn't think that part was that difficult. That part seemed kind of intuitive.
Well, it was frustrating more than anything.
I actually verbally said, I don't want to do this to myself at 1 in the morning.
Oh, okay.
I'm not kidding. I was like, I can't do this.
Well, maybe that's your... Anyways...
What?
No, I mean, they narrowed it down with only so many options, and I thought, I mean, to me it seemed pretty clear.
It was a little frustrating, but it wasn't like horribly hard for me. I think what it was that I had played a big chunk of the chapter altogether. I think by that point, after the whole Frank thing, after a few other things of like running around, I was like, I just don't. Yeah, it was just too much in one chapter. I was like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to. I just didn't want to do it to begin with. It didn't take that long, but I didn't want to do it.
I broke up the chapter a lot. It was a long chapter, so I'm glad I played it in like four or five sittings.
Otherwise,
it would have been terrible.
Yeah.
I played it one sitting. It was tough. I'm not going to lie. I think I would have rather have seen them put more in the other chapters, like a little bit here and there to compensate for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think the chapter could have started after you come back to this timeline, or it could have ended when we find Rachel's body. Either place would have been a good cut point.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, well, let's, for the sake of time, actually, Chris, can you tell me, like, where we're at with time, if you don't
mind? About 30.
Okay, cool. Perfect. Let's talk a little bit about specifically just the part where you discover the barn, not necessarily what's under the barn. Like, what was going through your head when you just first arrived at that ominous barn?
Where's the chainsaw guy?
It was pretty creepy. That's it really actually was. When I started to pay attention. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm in the zone now.
Well, I didn't get okay. Go ahead, Chris.
I didn't really get all that creeped out until I was walking inside, and like you walk on a metal panel or something.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, there is very clearly something underneath me. At that moment, I was like, there is a torture dungeon underneath me. Rachel Amber's in chains beneath me.
Oh.
That moment, I was terrified.
See, I didn't even walk on it in here. I just started looking through the hay because it gave me the option to.
I heard the audio cue.
Yeah, no, did cool. did you play with a controller, a keyboard, and mouse?
I went with the controller.
Because I noticed this time around I played with a controller, and the controller actually vibrated when you were...
Yeah, really? Yeah.
When you actually got to the plate, which was kind of interesting, the way they had played the clue like that.
Yeah.
How long did it take you guys to figure out how to open the thing or do it right?
To
be honest, I actually had to look it up. I got so frustrated because I couldn't figure out that I had to reverse and whatever.
So I
had to look it up. I got upset.
I had that same problem, and then going through the whole thing, and then I forget to attach the rope.
Yeah,
so I had to go through the whole thing over again.
Oh, you can ask Chloe to do it for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, on the...
Yeah, you can.
When you push it over, when you're supposed to attach the rope to the engine,
uh-huh.
I kept forgetting to attach it to the engine.
So oh, that's annoying.
I just think that that whole... Like, I think it was a little confusing, especially at that part where you have to rewind. I knew it had something to do with rewinding, but
I had watched it being, as I said, I had watched that part before on Twitch, and I still had trouble figuring it out. I was like, I don't remember what I'm supposed to do, so yeah, it was difficult.
Yeah. I think that I was at the point where I almost looked it up, and then I just kept kind of toying around with it.
Yeah.
Once I figured out that there was only one way to kick that motor off, I kind of figured it out. But still, I was like, suddenly we were playing a puzzle game.
Yeah, you know? This episode very much felt like a puzzle game, way more than the others.
Yeah. But I don't know if the mechanics are quite there to be a puzzle game. It's definitely,
no, they're not.
You know, so definitely you could see that a mile away. So, okay, so let's kind of advance now. So you open the door, you see this bunker. How quickly did you guys pick up on the dial pad being faded?
I didn't.
I picked up on it, but I got tired of just randomly guessing because I was still flustered from not being able to figure out the previous thing. So I had the walkthrough already up, so I just looked it up.
Yeah, I almost did too. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to get it over with. But I realized
There's no way except for just randomly trying those combinations of three, right?
Yeah,
there's only
really
like a few different combinations. I got it right in like the fourth try, I think.
I still got too mad.
Yeah, I definitely understand. I think it's unnecessary, to be honest with you. I think it's just
there
because they want to have you rewind and keep playing. Like, because you don't play for an hour and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait, we're making a game here. We need to give them something to do.
Well, yeah, and I mean, the worst part was is that the number was actually written on the crazy scribbles that Nathan had.
Oh,
so it was the numbers that were written in red on that piece of paper.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, because I kept thinking they must give us to this in a hint somewhere in
really?
The game,
yeah.
But I could not figure out where. That's so far removed, though.
I know, because then it's like if you weren't really paying attention, there's really no way of going back and
rewind
and figuring and getting it.
Yeah, rewind. Oh, that's dumb.
What about the phone code when you had to unlock the phone?
Oh, that was annoying too.
I got
lucky,
fourth try or something.
If you do the phone code, if you get it wrong like three times, it asks for the longer code, and that's right on the card. That's what I did.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
So I was just like, oh, I'll just screw up the PIN code three times and then do this.
Yeah.
So that was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope that the last chapter is a little bit more faster pace. Yeah, just I want to see a little bit more. Like, now that we've got this crescendo, we know what's going on to some extent. I hope that they don't drag it out. I wanted to see this thing kind of come to a head, and I want there to be some action, you know?
They have so much to tie up. I don't see how they could even fit any filler in this final episode.
I know.
Like, if it's not just pure, you know, action the whole time, it's, eh, whatever.
They are making a sequel.
Oh, no.
It's already done. Like, I mean, it's not done. It's already decided. Yeah.
Is so, it, like, same characters, or...?
I have no idea.
So, I had heard that Don't Nod, who is the developers of the game, had said that if they do a quote-unquote sequel, that it's going to be a completely different story and completely different characters.
Well,
crap. Yeah, I think that would be better.
Yeah.
What, I mean, seriously, we can't really probably say till the end, but is it? Am I in the minority here? Like, have you guys felt like you're playing a game, or do you feel like you're just kind of pressing a button every half hour?
I feel like I'm playing a game. It's not the most interactive game, but I'm still okay with it as
Yeah, I mean, it has the heart of classic point-and-click adventure games, mm-hmm. but the puzzle aspect of the point-and-click adventure games, I think, relies too heavily on the rewind ability,
yeah.
being that as that's the puzzle you need to figure out. Yeah.
And there's so much... Oh, sorry, go ahead, Chris.
And it's, you know, I've just started playing a recent game called The Witness on PSN. And it has the same kind of problem where it wants to be like the spiritual successor to Myst. Uh-huh. But the problem is that all the games are just mazes.
Oh.
That's dumb.
Yeah. Which I'm a little disappointed on that, but that's a completely different story. But, I mean, Life is Strange is, at its very core, a classic point-and-click adventure game, but it relies too heavily on one gimmick.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, I mean, as far as I know, this is kind of their first foray into, I mean, I don't know about Don't Nod, but I know Square Enix is kind of their first foray into this kind of, into this type
right.
of game.
Right.
But there's a lot, to me, there's a lot of useless information, too. There's a lot of, like,
yeah, stuff, yes,
like a lot of, like, at the beginning of the game, there's a lot of posters you could look at. There's just a lot of stuff that you can look at and not really interact with, but just, like, get Max's thoughts on that takes up. I mean, if you're a person like me that likes to look at stuff like that, like, it takes up a lot of time. Like, as I said, like, my gameplay goes on for about almost at least a half hour longer than, you know, than some of you guys.
Well, especially, too, like, if you've grown up on point-and-click adventure games,
mm-hmm.
you
exactly.
have the mentality of
yeah.
everything is important,
exactly.
so you need to make sure that you gather everything that you possibly
exactly.
can. But then with these types of games, it's like, oh, this is the 150th Rachel Amber poster
yeah.
that we've been seeing
yeah.
that offers no new information whatsoever.
Yeah. And that's an excellent point, because I did play a lot of point-and-click games.
Yeah.
I love
know.
Point-and-click games.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite genres. I just think that, I think you're definitely on to something. I think, personally, I think what is hard for me is not so much the genre as the setting, maybe. I think it's so rooted in reality, it kind of makes me, I mean, not that that's bad or anything, but I think that there's, yeah, it's so linear, you know what I mean? It's like this, it's a very, like, real story
mm-hmm.
of, like, real people with mundane lives, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you're kind of just like, all right, there's really not a whole lot of interesting stuff going on here. I'm not, like, trying to save the world or find a lost treasure or something.
Yeah,
I mean, it really is a niche, like, sort of a niche game. It,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have the mass appeal of your average video game, which is looking to provide, you know, some sort of escapism and some sort
right.
of alternate world. Whereas I feel like, this is definitely a game, it's definitely good, but it's not for everybody.
Yeah,
It's
almost like, it's almost too much Gone Home and not enough Grim Fandango.
Yeah. I did you guys ever play the Broken Sword games?
Yes.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I mean, those are one of my favorite franchises, but they were also really slow, but they were a little bit more like a point-and-click Uncharted, if you will, only on a more serious
Most
level.
Annoying aspect of those games is that you constantly have to go back and forth.
Yeah.
That's biggest pet peeve out of all the, like, point-and-click genre.
True.
They're definitely dated. They're dated. They don't hold up, I would say. But anyways, let's move along.
Yeah.
Steph, do you want to talk about question 9 a little bit?
Let's see here. So the chapter ends on quite the cliffhanger with Max surprisingly being drugged when they were, you know, at the junkyard. And then Chloe was shot. Up until this point, we've kind of only seen Max kind of, I mean, other than like jumping into the picture, I mean, not jumping into the picture, like this is some kind of PBS special, but, but other than like, you know, going back in the past through the picture, I guess, we've only seen her kind of rewind short periods of time. So now that she's drugged and who knows what's happening to her, do you think that she'll be able to go back and save Chloe, or do you think that it will be too late?
I think that she's going to have the option. Like, she hasn't lost, as far as I know, hasn't permanently lost the power.
Yeah.
So I think she's going to have the option, but I think whether or not she's, I don't know, I think it's going to get complex.
Yeah.
I don't think she's so much lost the power as it being too much time would have passed. We never really saw her go very far into something before rewinding it, you know? So, like...
All she needs is any selfie that she took with Chloe throughout the course of the game.
Oh.
And she stares at that, and then she goes back, and... I mean, we've been getting achievements for taking pictures throughout the course of the game, so I don't know if it's like, oh, now these are our optional jump-in points, or even if that doesn't matter at all, but that's something I've been... Ever since it was revealed that we can go back in time by looking at a picture, every time I see a picture of a squirrel, I'm like, oh, am I going to be coming back to this? You know?
Detective Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Well played, Clark. Well played. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I never thought of the picture. That might be it. I mean, I would be okay if they... Well, I shouldn't say I'd be okay. I would probably accept if they killed off Chloe. But let's put it this way, I wouldn't be surprised if they killed her off and you couldn't get her back. I hope you can. So I'm starting to like her, and she's definitely she's turning around a little bit, you know?
Yeah, she's definitely kind of mellowing out a bit.
Yeah. So, I mean,
well, and that's what makes me a little bit afraid that they are permanently killing her off, because they've just turned the corner with her to make make us really fall in love with her, and then, bam, they're going to take her.
Oh, no!
And we saw her try to rewind, of course, but she was too drugged to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that was quite a cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. But I just have one question. One pressing issue that I laid awake at night and I couldn't sleep because I couldn't sleep. How the freak did Mr. Jefferson get there before them to get the drop on them?
Magic, guys. He's magic.
I mean, come on.
Okay, my only other thing, because they approached the junkyard from the train tracks as if they walked there.
Yeah.
All other times they have driven there. Why were they not in a hurry? Like, what was their problem that they were like, nope, are they out of gas?
But
like,
because they didn't drive, right? They left the school in the car, didn't they?
They did, but they didn't approach from the parking area. They approached from the train tracks. So
yeah,
I
think they wanted to try and surprise Nathan and not tip him off.
Well, they're stupid.
Yeah, I know,
but
I know.
Also, like... But also, when they left and got in the car and drove away, Mr. Jefferson was still on stage, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, he was still on stage, like, being a ham.
So unless he was just like, oh, hold on, I gotta go, guys, and just, like, dropped the mic and ran out. I mean, how did that? They would have had, like, a 2-mile head start on him.
Well, like, that's why I'm saying, so if they took, like, an extra 15 minutes to sneak around the back because they think they're spies or something, you know, then he would have had time for this.
True.
But, yeah, I agree that was... crazy moment.
It just kind of felt like, for me, when that happened, when I saw who it was, I just kind of felt like, well, here's this convenient plot twist that they're just going to throw this in here because, I mean, there's nothing we can do about it now. We just have to accept it for what it is, you know? I'm okay with it. I don't think it makes any sense, but, I mean, what can I do? I can't change the game. I'm just along for the ride, you know? I don't know. It's kind of makes me mad. I feel like I've been duped, like in a way that's kind of like, ha, we're just gonna make you feel angry because, you know, you have no other choice. Because he's like the only person. First of all, he's barely in the game. And he's, like, one of the only people in that school that seems sane and you can trust.
Well, I think that's why they chose him.
Yeah.
To be
Seem like that it was kind of out of place? I mean, doesn't it seem like it's out of character? I mean, yeah, I know that's the point, but come on, like, my point is there's no way we could have ever figured that out. Like, there's been no clues, there's been no, like, signs. Like, he got one phone call that was sketchy that one time in the hallway.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm just ranting because I'm being cynical. But it aggravated me a little bit. I want to see how he did it and what his motive was. I'm starting to wonder, stop me if you've heard this one, if he's framing Nathan, and that my theory is that Nathan is dead, he's the one on the ground, and Rachel's not dead, because you hear a girl crying at the end, and that's got to be Rachel. There's no way Rachel's dead. We haven't seen her.
No, Rachel's definitely dead. Yeah, that was Max being tortured, picture taken, raped, something.
Oh, see, yeah. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think Rachel's dead. Why wouldn't they show us her body? Why would, after all this time?
It's decomposed, first of all. And second of all, because these two teenage girls don't want to fully exhume a body right now. They were being crazy.
And I mean, I think with the pictures with Nathan posing next to the body of Rachel, I think was enough.
Gag me.
Enough for here she is dead type of thing.
Okay, yeah. So then Nathan is working with Mr. Jefferson. They're in cahoots together. Is that what's going on here?
Well, either that or the other idea I had is that just like everybody else in this town, he's being to somehow protect, to hide this terrible secret. So somehow Sean Prescott has this hold over him and is forcing him to protect Nathan, even to the point of murdering these girls.
Prescott's are the worst.
They're not nice, no.
No.
I guess what I'm having a hard time with and just kind of frustrating, and again, I'm embellishing this. I'm not really mad, of course, but the bottom line is like we Sean Prescott and then Mr. Jefferson kind of becoming these, you know, these insidious characters with ulterior motives. We're just starting to see this now. You know, we've had no real, like, unless you read every freaking note in the game.
I do.
Yeah, exactly. I read a lot of notes, and I wouldn't have seen it coming.
But that's the thing, right? This chapter, you don't start to see some of the ulterior motives that Sean Prescott has.
Sean, you get the sense that he's messed up, but Mr. Jefferson, not at all.
Right.
From the
other
material.
I actually thought that Sean was going to be the guy. Like, when they showed him walking, they just saw his feet, I was like, Sean Prescott, here we go. And then I saw Mr. Jefferson. I was like, no.
Mr. Jefferson?
Yeah. I just feel like that's going to be like the end of like a comedy sitcom. Like, Mr. Jefferson!
You crazy kids. If it wasn't for you and your truck.
Yeah.
I would have gotten away with it too.
Yeah. Just like pull the mask off of him and it's Nathan Prescott. I mean, it was just ridiculous, but I mean, I will say I'm intrigued, and I actually want to see what happens. I'm not going to lie. I want to kind of get playing it.
Well, yeah, that was, because I played it last night, and as soon as the episode ended, like, it was almost 1 in the morning, but I really wanted to just play the 5th episode. I was like, the only reason I didn't is because of this group. I wanted my, perceptions to be pure for this discussion, but, like, I'm probably going to finish the episode, or play the 5th episode as soon as we're done talking.
I just want to say one more thing. I think that I know you guys definitely pitch a good case that Rachel is dead. However, I'm sitting there and I'm watching Chloe cry, and it was a really well acted scene. I thought that was done well, but I wasn't sad because I'm thinking, I've never seen Rachel. I've only heard stories about her. I saw her picture on a missing persons board. Again, don't know much about her. I know I'm looking for her. You know, I've never seen her. I'm closer to Chloe than I am Rachel. As a player.
Right,
so, like,
exactly.
I don't care about Rachel. So when Chloe's crying and it's horrible and she you know, smells her decomposing dead friend, it's awful. That was really hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking, oh, well, it's not her. Because they didn't open the bag. They didn't see that it was her. You know? I guess maybe I just interpreted it wrong.
I mean, it's true that, like, there is still the option that she could be alive. I just, I'm finding it unlikely, but it would be a heck of a twist.
It would be
like,
a twist.
Like, twist upon twist Ta-da! Upon twist, if suddenly, like, Rachel Amber is actually secretly orchestrating all this would be the craziest twist. But
the only other thing I can say that would back up actually her being dead and kind of defeats my theory is the Doe ghost at the end of that scene.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, do you think that whole Snow Doe is the spirit of Rachel Amber?
I think it's supposed to be Rachel watching over Chloe.
I think that's what they're trying to get at.
Yeah.
That's my thought. So, I mean, maybe she is dead, you know? But I just don't think it was really that impactful if we never knew her, you know? I don't know. That's just me. I'm not going to go on about that.
Yeah, I mean, the game is, from Max's point of view, so Max, I mean, and maybe that's the point, Max never knew her. So you're kind of experiencing the game through Max. It would have been helpful if they would have given a little bit more, let you at least see her, like, you know, in like a
prologue or something.
Right, like a prologue or some kind of memory that you can see, you know. But you don't even see that many pictures of her except on those stupid, you know, those stupid missing posters. So that would have been helpful, but I think to me, it's just that you're experiencing it like Max, and she doesn't have any, you know.
That's a good point. She's
sad, you know, Max is sad because Chloe's sad, you know, because Chloe's devastated.
That's a really good point. This is why we have a group discussion, because if the world had to rely on my opinion, we'd all be in trouble. God help us.
Yeah, I do enjoy how we're all taking a lot of very different things from this game.
Yeah, I love it.
It's awesome, yeah.
It is awesome, and I think it definitely shows that this is something that has some legs, you know, that we can do this with a bunch of different games. And yeah, so, well, we're about 10 minutes away from finishing, so why don't we just kind of talk, I guess we already kind of wrapped up, so I don't think there's anything else to, unless there's any other final thoughts. Any other final thoughts?
Well, I do have to say that the folders you find in the bunker are very disturbing.
Yeah.
I found that scene to be a little heavy.
Yeah, I agree. Like, actually having the images. Like, because, the video of Kate, you know, we never actually really see it.
Yeah.
But then to actually be seeing these images was kind of disturbing.
Yeah, you see that, like, one blurred image of her, and it's kind of dark, you know what I mean? That was messed up.
What, so, like...
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to ask, like, I just want... wonder if like Nathan or Mr. I mean, I don't know. I mean, is Nathan or Mr. Jefferson, like, are they doing this for some kind of like, it's just so sick that they're doing this for some kind of, I guess, a photography project? Like,
well, I think that it's not so much a photography project as probably like a fetish, considering the fact that
true.
Like,
well,
they're
yeah.
kidnapping
yeah.
women and killing
oh,
them.
God.
Like,
yeah.
this is probably not something as lighthearted as a photography
right.
project.
Right. No, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think let's really quickly, while we have time, just touch base on answering the question. I think we skipped it by accident, but did you guys? I noticed that Clark and Stanton. I think it should go that you were able to convince Victoria of the threat.
Yes.
Yes.
I was not able to convince
Aww.
Her.
Uh-oh. Because it was like 12 o'clock in the morning. That's why.
Well, like, I don't even know what I did wrong.
Well,
like,
did you take a picture of her with the paint?
Of course I did.
That's probably why.
There you go.
Ew, chick.
That's
the only reason why?
Most likely.
Well, she brings it up in the conversation. She's like, well, you could have completely humiliated me by taking a picture of me with the paint all over me, but since you didn't, I guess that I will, you know, heed your warning on Nathan.
Well, she's going to be sorry when she's chopping up little pieces and throw into a trash bag. She's going to wish she'd listened to me then.
No, but it's not going to happen. You're going to stop him.
I'm not going to stop him.
Yeah, you
right
are.
Now you're kind of tied up screaming in a bunker, so...
She had her chance.
She had her chance?
Yeah, she had her chance. I'm not going to save her again. I'm going to take a picture of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Put that up on Facebook. Joking. I probably won't save her, but I probably would save her, actually. I would let her live.
I have no idea what this next episode holds. Like, I am just completely mind-blown pumped for this next one.
Yeah. You know, I will say that I'm really believing the character development. I think that they do a good job with showing the arc of, like, these people who are just kind of putting on these facades.
Yeah.
And they're really not, secure people. They're really like broken and they want they need affirmation. And you see that kind of manifesting because of all the fear and stuff that's now starting to become unglued. You know, people are just showing their true colors. And I appreciate that. Because in the beginning, they were working really hard to convince us of these, like, really over-the-top characters.
Yeah.
And I think now we're starting to see the reality, which that's a sign of good writing, you know?
Yeah.
And we still have the end of the world coming, so.
Yeah, I know.
I guess.
I'm excited. I kind of want to play it now. I'll probably get to it later, but. So. All right, well, so you guys all bought White Knight, correct?
Yes.
Yep. Cool.
All right. I mean, it's back up to $15, so hopefully people got it when they did.
Yeah.
And so we'll just meet back again next week, same time, and finish this crap up.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Crazy story.
I know, right? You guys all good to go right into White Knight? Those of us who are here.
I should be. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Right. Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks
nice
again for recording this. Yeah.
Have a good week.
By the way. This is kind of off the record, but Game Church is doing another Academy this year.
Yeah, I saw that.
Nice.
Isn't that awesome? Very excited.
I most likely won't be able to go.
Come on.
That would be amazing if I could.
You're the third person to say that today. I'm like, what's going to happen?
Well, I mean, getting together the money for a mission trip is hard enough without also needing the money for that.
True. But yeah, I get you. Other than the plane fare, it's like they did like $75 last year for the ticket.
Yeah, but I mean, the plane fare is the main issue.
I understand. But you should go anyway.
It would be awesome if I could.
Have they released the dates for it?
Not yet.
Okay. They said June. That was all they said.
I talked to Chris. I actually talked to Mikey on the phone today, and I talked to Chris. He said that they are looking at like the just like a weekend in June, but he talked to the hotel today, so I guess he's just waiting to hear back.
It'd be nice if they could do something similar like what they did last year with E3.
Well, they're not doing E3 this year.
Well, no, I mean do something like that, but with like AX or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
So.
All right. Well. There it is.
Yeah.
It's Game Chat episode 4.
All right.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Adios, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.